Welcome back to the Roundtable. On December 5th at 8 p.m., Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York presents Anne Heaton and Natalia Zuckerman, An Evening of Songs and Stories. The multimedia event will feature excerpts from Zuckerman's latest show, The Women Who Rode Away, and from Heaton's new album and storybook, To the Light. Natalia Zuckerman's The Woman Who Rode Away melds her talent as a songwriter, painter, and storyteller as she recounts the journey of finding her voice through the stories of the women in her life and in history that paved the way. Here's a portion of the song Your Little Day, which is about Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Can you make the most of this, your little day, your little month, your half a year? As you struggle on, vows bend and break. A grave is such a quiet place. I am not big enough to love the way I do. What will you do with me now? Keep me doing things, keep me from doing things. Keep my things out of the way. And don't stay.
Anne Heaton's To the Light is a celebration of collaboration and connection. Heaton is the founder of Soul Songs School. Natalia Zuckerman and Anne Heaton, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Natalia, you are bringing The Woman Who Rode Away to Helsinki Hudson. We talked about this a number of years ago, but we can't expect WAMC listeners to remember every interview that's ever aired on the Roundtable. So give us the overview of this project and you know, the inspiration and what it's meant to you.
Yeah, it's so exciting to come full circle and go back to the first place I ever got to kind of workshop it. At that time, it was 2 years ago in October. It was Seth Rogovoy's Salon series, and he and I just got together, and it was an idea I'd been kicking around for years, and he was like, cool, you have 2 months to do it. So I cobbled together the images and some songs and kind of pieced it together with like a keynote slideshow. And then I ended up getting an artist residency at a theater called The Cell in Manhattan. And I worked with Kira Simring and Gertjan Huben on just really fleshing it out. So it's a much more cohesive piece that I get to bring back. And it's songs, stories, and portraits about amazing women who have influenced the world and influenced me directly from personal people in my life, my grandmothers, both my grandmothers, my art teacher from high school, my partner, to people like Georgia O'Keeffe and Audre Lorde and Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
How did you select the women that you would choose? You said they've had an influence on you and a lot of them an influence on the world. Did you start with a wider swath of people to select from, or how did you choose them?
Yeah, it actually started a long time ago. I wrote a song about the can-can dancer, Jane Averill, that it came out of a song prompt that my friend Willie Porter gave me. He said I had a week to write a song with the words feather boa in it. So I thought of those great Toulouse-Lautrec paintings, mm-hmm. and I wrote this song. And then a couple years after that, I was commissioned to write a song about Edna St. Vincent Millay for a poetry project. And so then I had these two songs about these pretty amazing historical figures, and I thought it would be kind of cool to do something with illustrations and storytelling about them. I wasn't sure what, and then it was really Seth who kind of kicked me in the butt to keep going. But after that, those two initial ones, it was a few of them that I kind of happened by chance, and then a few that I really sat down and made a list of what I thought could make an arc of a story.
Could you tell me more about what the show looks like? Because there is a visual element to it.
Yeah, so Gertjan took all of the images I created and made this really seamless movie, basically, that I project now onto a canvas that sits on an easel next to me. Some of them are animated, and one really flows into the next. So I ended up creating a book, like a coffee table book, out of the project that is the slideshow in two-dimensional form, but it makes these women really come to life. And because the canvas is kind of life-size, I feel like there's another character that I get to interact with during the show. So what it looks like more technically is that I'm on stage with a guitar and a wireless Janet Jackson headphone, mm-hmm. headset mic, telling stories about these women and how they've influenced me. And then I sing a song that I wrote about them, and all the while there's imagery that flows from one image to the next. They're all watercolor paintings and ink drawings that I did.
For each of the women featured in The Women Who Rode Away, did you write the song first and create the portrait later, or was it not as systematic as that?
Yeah, no, that was definitely the way I did the painting second, and the stories also came after the songs.
You're performing The Women Who Rode Away at Helsinki Hudson on Thursday, December 5th at 8 p.m. That's in Hudson, New York, of course. And performing with you that evening is Anne Heaton, who also is on the line with us. Before we talk to Anne about her work and her new project, how did the double bill come about? Either of you, I guess, could speak to that.
Well, Anne and I have been in a group called Winter Bloom for, I think this might be the 11th year that we've performed around the holidays with Antje Duvekot and Meg Hutchinson. And it's gone from, when we started going from Thanksgiving through New Year's, and we've dwindled it down to one show a year, which is just like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. And so Anne was coming to the East Coast, and she has this new incredible record and a story book that goes along with it, and then now imagery as well. So I thought how incredibly fun it would be to collaborate and bring these two shows that have, that can kind of talk to each other through the medium. And any chance Anne and I get really to play together, we jump on it. So that's how that happened. I forced her into it, I think.
And tell me about To the Light.
Okay, well, I'll just add to that really quickly. Sometimes when your community is dispersed, like so many of our music friends who we're so close to live all over, so any excuse we get to be together and play together is always so, so nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, To the Light is my new collection of songs and stories. About a year and a half ago, I think, I hosted an online songwriting series with songwriters, some who I knew, some who I didn't know but admired their work, and asking them, you know, what were the stories behind their songs and the tools they used to create their songs. And I love doing that so much because I love stories. And I found that I discovered a lot of things about people that I knew really well that I didn't know, like about their creative process or, you know, what brought the song into the world. So when I was making my album, I thought, you know, I can share the stories behind these songs as well. So the book includes basically the story behind the song, the lyrics, then the creativity key that unlocked the song. So, for example, learning to ask for help, you know, like if I were halfway done with the song, but I was like, this isn't quite right, or I don't know what to do with this next verse, who could help me, you know, or the creativity key of surrender, like maybe I want the song to be really upbeat, but the song is like not going in that direction, so I just kind of surrender to the work. And then each song, like each chapter includes reflection questions too. And the songs are really like, kind of, how do you find your joy? How do you find things to celebrate? How do you connect to hope and to light when maybe circumstances in your life or in the world are not as you would want them to be? And so just being able to connect to something deeper. And, you know, some of the songs are really, like, you know, danceable, like in the body, and other ones are more reflective. There's one funny song on it called The Donut Song, which is inspired by my daughter and her wanting to eat a donut in the car. I would say one other thing about this album that feels great is that it was really collaborative. I've moved a lot over the last 10 years, and I've felt... you know, it's a little rough to like lose your community several times. And so as I wrote each song, I would think to myself, you know, who, like right now I'm living in Milwaukee, but I was living in Ann Arbor. Before that I was in Chicago, and before that I was in Boston. So as I wrote each song, I thought, you know, who could help me bring this song to life? You know, who could help me produce it, or who could be a co-writer, or who could sing on it? And then I would reach out to that person. So
I was able to collaborate with so many of my friends and my two daughters and my husband on this record. And that feels really, really good.
And that kind of collaboration across the country or across the world is easier with modern technology than it might have been before, which is not, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the negatives of technology, which are certainly true and a part of life, but to collaborate with friends far flung is one of the positives.
Absolutely. And, you know, Natalia and I will jump on Zoom, which, if you don't know what that is, it's like Skype, frequently to share song ideas or other creative ideas we're working on. And I have an online songwriting school, and one of the tools I use is also, you know, meeting on Skype or Zoom with songwriters. And it's really like a lifeline. You know, if you're used to writing alone, or you end up spending a lot of time alone because you're an artist, it's great. I mean, nothing beats meeting in person, for sure. And when I recorded these songs, I always would, you know, drive or fly to wherever I was going to be with people in the room. But you're absolutely right. It is a wonderful tool.
Tell us more about your songwriting school.
I've been teaching songwriting like at Berklee College of Music in the summers, and at Interlaken, which Natalia has done also, and for the Grammy camps. And I was doing that for a while, and it really got me to thinking, like, how would I set this up if I could do it exactly the way I wanted? And the answer was that I wanted it to be a mix of craft, you know, learning about melody and lyric writing and song structure and the creative processes. Because when I look back over my own songs, there was always, you know, something that happened that helped the song be born. When I first started writing songs, I had no idea what I was doing. So I was sort of feeling my way in the dark. So what I wanted to do was, you know, give people creative exercises they could do, like free writes, or, you know, going out and observing people, or using descriptive writing, or interviewing a friend, so that they could generate ideas and kind of get in a creative zone. So, yeah, it's kind of like a 50-50 craft creativity school, and I've loved doing it. So there's like an online learning component, and then there's a meeting in real time component. And it's been super, super fun.
Natalia Zuckerman and Anne Heaton will perform at Helsinki Hudson in Hudson, New York on Thursday, December 5th at 8 p.m. It's been a pleasure to speak with you both. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You too.
Absolutely, Sarah.
And can't wait to see you.
Same. Me too. See you soon.
Once again, Helsinki Hudson presents Anne Heaton and Natalia Zuckerman an evening of songs and stories on December 5th at 8 p.m. HelsinkiHudson.com. The Women Who Rode Away is Natalia Zuckerman's show and album. Anne Heaton's album and accompanying storybook are entitled To the Light. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable, and we'll end with some of the title track from Anne Heaton's album.
The king said to his son, "You know your royal blood, though your mother always warned me you'd be leaving. Inside these castle walls, I thought you wouldn't hear the call. Still the prophet in your heart started speaking. But I won't let you go, even if it's to the light. I won't let you go, even if it's to the light. I won't let you go, even if it's to the light. Even though I know." She heard the voices of children coming through her heart. Children that could be hers if she would only start. But she loved the man who could not play a father's part. She said, "I..."